Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news, highlight of the week, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news, first the headlines. Puan Maharani says families become places to build attitudes in appreciating differences. UNESCO declares Ombilin mining site as a World Heritage. Now the news in detail. South Kalimantan hosted the peak of the 26th National Family Day 2019. The 2019 National Family Day, which was held in the South Kalimantan Provincial Office Complex, Banjarbaru Saturday, was attended by Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture, Puan Maharani, and Indonesian Health Minister Nila Muluk. Puan Maharani, who represented President Joko Widodo, opened the annual event. In her remarks, Puan Maharani said that National Family Day was an annual commemoration that could strengthen the relationship between family and mutual cooperation for Indonesian families.
Keluarga berperan penting dalam membangun budi pekerti, etika.
Families play an important role in building character, ethics, and norms in socialization and in strengthening Pancasila in the life of nation and state. Every Indonesian family must also understand that Indonesia is a large and diverse nation. There are 714 ethnic groups, 1,100 regional languages, and 17,000 islands. Therefore, the family must be a place to build attitudes in respecting differences and, of course, prioritizing a sense of unity as a big family, Indonesia. The peak of the 26th National Family Day in commemoration was enlivened by the awarding of Satya Lencana Pembangunan and Satya Lencana Wirakarya Awards from President Joko Widodo to governors, regents, and mayors throughout Indonesia who succeeded in the fields of population, family planning, and family development. Meanwhile, the head of Indonesian National Population and Family Planning Agency, BKKBN, Hasto Wardoyo, as chair of the organizing committee, said that he would further develop the family planning village in each region in Indonesia through community empowerment to create a prosperous and quality family. The Ombilin coal mining site in Sawah Lunto, West Sumatra Province, was declared as a World Cultural Heritage by the United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, UNESCO, during the 43rd session of UNESCO World Heritage Committee held at the Baku Congress Center in Azerbaijan on Saturday afternoon. Until now, UNESCO has declared 4 World Natural Heritage sites in Indonesia. Komodo National Park declared as World Heritage in 1991, Ujung Kulon National Park in 1992, Lawrence National Park in 1999, and Sumatra Tropical Forest in 2004. Furthermore, UNESCO had also declared Borobudur Buddhist Temple and Prambanan Hindu Temple as World Cultural Heritage Sites in 1991 and Sangiran Archaeological Excavation Site and Bali Traditional Subak Farming and Irrigation System, respectively, in 1996 and 2012. The North Sulawesi Provincial Government has made steady efforts to develop the tourism sector viewed as having the potential to boost region's economic growth by applying the 3A strategy of attractions, accessibility, and amenities, North Sulawesi Provincial Secretary Edwin Silangin highlighted that attractions covered revamping natural, artificial, and cultural attractions, while accessibility encompassed boosting air connectivity, road quality, and intermodal access to tourist destinations and amenities included the construction of public and tourism facilities. The tourism industry has become a pillar for the province economy as it has contributed significantly to supporting local economic growth. Hence, the government will work on improving North Sulawesi's infrastructure comprising facilities at its airport as part of the efforts to increase foreign tourist visits. In the meantime, North Sulawesi is promoting its tourism with three major events, notably Bunaken Festival, Tomohon Flower Festival, Lembah Seriai Festival, which are on the agenda of 100 Beautiful of Event 2019. The Tourism Ministry is taking new steps toward the improvement of quality standards for human resources in the national tourism industry. Recently, a national coordination meeting was conducted on the theme Wonderful Indonesia Digital Tourism Champion 4.0 Curriculum and Training, during which lessons and academic content plans on tourism were composed. Tourism Minister Arif Yahya on Thursday said that the curriculum would be initially given to the younger generations, comprising echelons 3 and 4, and to about 10,000 students in 6 tourism institutes. He said that as almost 100% of Indonesian tourists are technology savvy, the new curriculum would have to emphasize digital economy models for national tourism. Furthermore, following the application of a new curriculum, the tourism ministry is to build community-based programs to improve human resources in the tourism industry. The head of Data Information and Public Relations Center for the National Disaster Management Agency, or BNPB, Sutopo Purwonugroho, has passed away on Sunday, July 7, 2019, at around 1 a.m. Western Indonesian Time, at 49 years old. The head of the TU Pusdatin Imas Division of BNPB, Yahya, confirmed this when contacted by Tempo on Sunday morning. Even so, Yahya had not been able to ascertain when Sutopo's body will be brought back to Indonesia. He said Sutopo's family is still communicating with the Indonesian embassy in China. Sutopo was known to have departed for Guangzhou, China, to treat his lung cancer, which was getting worse. He announced his departure from Soekarno-Hatta Airport to China through a video blog recording and uploaded it on his Instagram account on June 15, 2019. At that time, Sutopo also said that the cancer cells had spread to many other bones and organs inside of his body. Kashafi Kalyasena, a 17-year-old pianist and saxophonist from Jakarta, has been named one of the 5 winners of the 2019 VCA International Young Soloist Competition, a John Kennedy Smith Arts and Disability Program of the John F. Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts in Washington, D.C., United States. Kashfi, who has impaired vision, won over the judges with his piano performance during the competition. The winners of the competition were awarded $2,000 each and the winners opportunity to participate in a series of rehearsals and roundtable discussions with music professionals from July 24 to July 26. A dry spell expected at the height of the dry season in mid-August has prompted authorities to announce a temporary closure of Mount Gede Pangrango for the public. In a circular dated July 1, Mount Gede Pangrango National Park Office explained that the measure is aimed at anticipating the risk of forest fire, improving security in the area, and conducting a clean-up operation. The closure is to be in effect for 10 days from August 12 to August 21st. Listener, that was the news.
Voice of Indonesia.
This week's spotlight is on Jokowi invites all parties to build Indonesia. President-elect Joko Widodo or Jokowi appreciated the work of the national campaign team and the regional campaign team who had fought for the candidate pair of President-Vice President Joko Widodo Ma'ruf Amin to win the 2019 election. Deputy Secretary of the campaign team, Ahmad Rofiq, as quoted by Antara in Jakarta on Wednesday, speaking about the results of the meeting between President-elect Joko Widodo and the team at the Bogor Palace on Tuesday night. According to Ahmad Rofiq, President-elect Joko Widodo in his speech said that Indonesia has a very wide geographical area, so it requires the involvement of many parties to jointly develop the country. Rofiq agreed when asked whether the invitation to jointly develop Indonesia was also addressed to supporters to the opponent, presidential and vice presidential candidates Prabowo Subianto and Sandiaga Uno. According to Ahmad Rofiq, for Jokowi, the success in the presidential election was the victory of all the people of Indonesia. Joko Widodo further said after the presidential election was over, there were no more number one or number two presidential candidate supporters, just Indonesians. The president-elect then invited all Indonesian people to jointly contribute to building Indonesia in accordance with their respective professions and roots. Regarding the formation of the cabinet, the Secretary General of the Perindo Party explained he hoped the cabinet, which would be formed by President-elect Joko Widodo, could continue the development that had been carried out in the first period with evaluation and improvement. Meanwhile, Deputy Chairperson of the Jokowi Ma'ruf Amin National Campaign Team, Arsul Sani, said that the team and the regional campaign team were not dissolved after the appointment of President and Vice President of the Republic of Indonesia by the Indonesian General Election Commission. According to him, the team, which also consists of political parties in the Indonesian Coalition of Work, will continue to exist starting from Jokowi's term in the second period to the upcoming presidential elections in 2024. Arsul Sani said at a meeting between Jokowi and the leaders of the teams from 34 provinces in Bogor Palace that the president expressed appreciation to the hard work they had done for 9 months before the voting day. Well, that was Spotlights of the Week.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice Indonesia with Today in History. I'll begin with July 7, 1937. The Marco Polo Bridge incident marked the start of the Second Sino-Japanese War. The Marco Polo Bridge incident, or the battle between the Republic of China and the Japanese Empire, marked the start of the Second Sino-Japanese War from July 7, 1937 to September 9, 1945. It was a major war between China and Japan before and during World War II. In fact, it was the biggest Asian war of the 20th century due to the Japanese imperialist policies, which had been going on for decades. Japan intended to dominate China politically and militarily to maintain the reserve of raw materials and natural resources owned by China. Turning to July 7, 2005, the city of London is rocked by bombing. The tragedy of the London bombings in 2005 was a series of bombings that took place on public transport networks in London, England, on July 7, 2005 morning local time during busy hours. At least 56 people killed. 4 explosions occurred on 3 subway lines and a bus in the center of the city of London. The 4 explosions were estimated to have been carried out by terrorists and occurred just when the G8 conference opened in Scotland in the afternoon the previous day. London also happened to be chosen as the organizer of the 2012 Olympics the day before. The exact motive is still not known for certain. This incident is the second worst terrorist attack experienced by Britain in the post-World War II era since the bombing of the Pan Am Flight 103 aircraft in 1988, which claimed as many as 270 fatalities. I'll end with July the 7th, 2016, World Chocolate Day is set. World Chocolate Day is commemorated every July the 7th and has been set since 2016 to celebrate the introduction of chocolate to Europe in 1550. The World Chocolate Day is known to be an excuse for consuming chocolate as much as you like. However, the United States stipulates International Chocolate Day every September the 13th. The date was determined based on the birth date of Milton S. Hershey, a philanthropist and founder of the Hershey Chocolate Company. That was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in the segment Listener's Mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Muhammad Akil Bashir in Pakistan. We received his email on June 28, 2019. In his email, Mr. Muhammad Akil Bashir said that in his area, he is unable to listen to VOI through radio. Therefore, he was listening to the English language service of VOI via internet. Hello, Mr. Muhammad Akil Bashir. Thank you very much for keep listening to our broadcast through website www.voinews.id. If you want to listen to VOI through your radio, please click frequency 3325 kHz and don't forget to send your reception report of our broadcast. Thank you. Special for you, we will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
Tatap mata tak sengaja buat hati tak menentu bila datang dari kamu, tak mampu menahan suara di kepala. Jantung meledak rasanya cinta datang tiba-tiba, mau tak mau. Situasi yang tak kena waktu, tak kena waktu. Gedung tinggi halangi matahari, namun kau cahayaku, kau cahayaku selalu. Jatuh cinta, kau selalu menuntunku untuk kembali berpijak di bumi. Kamu, aku tertangkap situasi yang tak kena waktu, tak kena waktu. jantung meledak rasanya.
Voice of Indonesia.
You are listening to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that will present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia Today, July the 7th, is entitled 2019 Bafeti Indonesia Open Tennis Championship Upgraded. Special Tennis Championship for Senior or Veteran Athletes called 2019 Bafeti Indonesian Open at Elite Club Epicentrum Rasuna, Jakarta from July the 31st to August the 4th is sure to increase the level compared to the same championship in 2017 edition. This is an opportunity to reach ITF Seniors point, which is quite significant. If in 2017 with Grade 5, the first winner gets 40 points, in 2019 it changes to Grade 2 with the first winner getting 120 points. Chairperson of the Executive Committee, Johnny Lonto, in his official statement in Jakarta on Wednesday said, with the increase in level or grade would be the main attraction for senior tennis players over the age of 40 years. In fact, he has accepted the registration of tennis players from several countries such as Argentina, Ghana, England, Hong Kong, China, India, the United States, Australia, Thailand, Singapore, and Malaysia. John Lonto added, a number of Bafeti, short for Veteran Tennis Indonesia at the squad, province administrators were also ready to field their veterans. The championship, which enters the second edition and enters the chain of the 2019 ITF Senior Circuit, will compete single and double numbers and compete for prizes of $12,000. Meanwhile, director of the 2019 Bafeti Indonesia Open Tournament, Samudra Sangitan, explained the age groups competed for both singles and doubles are for men 40+, 45+, 50+, 55+, 60+, 65+, and 70+. For women are 40+, 50+, and 60. According to him, grouping numbers were in accordance with the rules of the International Tennis Federation, or ITF Seniors, currently in force. Bafeti General Chair Tio El Sambuaga said that this prestigious special championship for senior athletes or veterans was in commemoration of the 74th Independence Day of the Republic of Indonesia on August the 17th. It is hoped that this year's championship can be as successful as the same championship before. That was My Indonesia Today on 2019 Bafeti Indonesia Open Tennis Championship Upgraded. This is Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Now we will reply an email from our regular listener, Abdelkadir Halil in Algeria. He was listening to our podcast in French through website www.voinews.id at 2000 hours to 2100 hours UTC on June 27, 2019. Hello, Mr. Abdelkadir Halil. Thank you very much for your reception report of our broadcast in detail. Your email has been forwarded to French section. Please be patient to wait for the reply. Thank you. Special for you, here is a beautiful song for you. Enjoy the song.
Berada di dalam dunia. dusta yang tercinta. Mengapakah harusku rasa sepenting itu kah cintamu? Kita berawal karena cinta, biarlah cinta yang mengakhiri.
Indonesia. RRI was office Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I will introduce you to Maratua Island in East Kalimantan. Maratua Island is one of the most exotic islands in the outermost of Indonesia. The island is located in East Kalimantan and is directly adjacent to Malaysia, Sabah, and the Philippines. It has atolls and coral that are also beautiful and still natural. Tourists who like to dive around the island even call it Paradise Island. Maratua Island is in the Sulawesi Sea, precisely located in the southern part of the city of Tarakan, East Kalimantan. To go to this place, first you have to go to Juwutan Airport in Tarakan. From Tarakan, you can use a plane again to Tanjung Redep Airport in Berau District. From Tanjung Redep, you can use a speedboat or passenger ship to Maratua Island with a travel time of around 3 hours. Because of the large number of tourists visiting Maratua Island, since 2015, Maratua Island has an airport so that with a shorter travel time, you can go directly to Maratua Island. Maratua Rarotonga Island is also known as the biggest nesting place for green turtles. Hundreds of sea turtles lay eggs on this island every year. Besides that, Rarotonga Island is a beautiful snorkeling and diving location. Here you can see a variety of diverse coral reefs. At least there are 21 dive spots here, each of which has its own exoticism. The beauty of the blue sea here makes you immediately want to dive. But do remember, the current in this location is quite strong and the sea is very deep, so for those of you who will dive here, a special license is required or you must be accompanied by an expert when diving. Besides the amazing underwater scenery, you can also enjoy the beautiful sunset here. Aside from enjoying the beauty of the underwater world, you can also interact with the locals. You can visit the four villages on this Rarotonga Island inhabited by the indigenous Bajo people or Bajo tribe who live in the boat or stilted houses above the water. The unique wooden house of the locals will certainly add to its own impression. If you want to stay longer on the island of Rarotonga, you can stay at a resort or in a local house or at an inn on the island. Despite its location at the outermost of Indonesia, Rarotonga Island is indeed worth visiting and can give you an unforgettable experience. Because in addition to seeing the natural beauty of both the island and the underwater world, you can also get to know the culture of the famous Bajo people who have high knowledge in maritime life. For example, they are known to be experts in free diving with long periods of time under the water without using any tools. Well, that was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder featuring Rarotonga Island in East Kalimantan. If you want to vacation in a place that has a quiet atmosphere accompanied by the sound of the waves, Rarotonga Island is highly recommended. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Now we continue to reply an email sent by Jayanta Chakrabarti in India. He was listening to our broadcast in English program through short waves at frequency 3325 kHz at 1000 hours until 1100 hours UTC on July 1st, 2019. And the SIN pole was 44444. Hello, Mr. Jayanta Chakrabarti. Thank you for always monitoring our radio. It was excellent signal. Because you could hear our broadcast perfectly, so you sent reception report of our broadcast in detail. Thank you. Well, for our regular listeners, whatever you are, we will play a beautiful song. Happy listening!
Petik gitar tuk melupakan cerita lama tak juga silam. Ku tahu cinta tak harus menguasai. Ku tahu cinta tak harus memiliki, tapi terlalu pahit untuk dikenang. Kisah itu selalu tetap.
juga pergi. Ku tahu cinta tak harus menguasai. Ku tahu cinta tak harus memiliki. Tapi terlalu pahit untuk dikenang. Kisah itu selalu tetap terbayang. Terlalu pahit untuk dikenang. Trauma yang dulu tak mau
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, here is Miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, today's miscellany is about Magelang students use peanut shells as prebiotic. Students of Tidar University Magelang, Central Java, use peanut shell waste. They are Suswadi and Mahdalina from Agri-Technology major, as well as Surya Bagus Purnomo from Agriculture major, joined as Exact Science Research Student Creativity Program team. These students process peanut shell into Extraordinary Peanut Shells Prebiotic or Exotic. Chairman Suswasdi, in a written statement received in Magelang, said that the research focused on using peanut shell to obtain prebiotic candidate or food for probiotic Lactobacillus bulgaricus and Streptococcus thermophilus. The research background was many peanut shells were thrown and polluted the environment, while they can be used in other forms such as prebiotic. Suswadi said a material can be prebiotic if it has high fiber and cannot be digested by human body. According to him, prebiotic bacteria are usually grown by inulin, that is quite expensive. Sus Swasti explained, peanut shell contains high cellulose fiber and can be nutrition source for probiotic bacteria in hope the bacteria can grow strong and multiply optimally. The research also helps peanut farmers to process the remains of their harvest. Prebiotic itself is a good nutrition for flora and microbe in human digesting system. Food and prebiotic can overcome indigestion and intestinal inflammation. The team hope that the research can find prebiotic candidate besides inulin media so that it can be future alternative of prebiotic and can fulfill the demands of prebiotic both small and industrial scales. Listener, that was Miscellany.
Voice of Indonesia.
Saja aku tahu ada yang tak sepenuh hati. Caramu mencintai aku membuat diriku bertanya. Bisa saja ada yang tersembunyi firasatku. Mengatakan itu ingin aku bertanya padamu tentang sesuatu di dalam dirimu. Masihkah ada rahasia yang tersimpan jauh di dalam hatimu yang tak dapat ku mengerti? Maukah engkau bicara jujur padaku hingga bisa aku tahu yang tersimpan di hatimu? Awal mula hati ini sungguh menaruh percaya padamu. Tak pernah sekejap aku ini mengingkari ketulusanmu. Bisa saja ada yang tersembunyi firasatku mengatakan itu. Ingin aku bertanya padamu tentang sesuatu di dalam dirimu. Masihkah ada rahasia yang tersimpan jauh di dalam hatimu yang tak dapat ku mengerti? Maukah engkau bicara jujur padaku hingga bisa aku tahu yang tersimpan di hatimu? Saja ada yang tersembunyi tentang sesuatu di dalam dirimu. Masihkah ada rahasia yang tersimpan jauh di dalam hatimu yang tak dapat ku mengerti? maukah engkau bicara jujur padaku hingga bisa aku tahu yang tersimpan di hatimu. Masihkah ada rahasia yang tersimpan jauh di dalam hatimu yang tak dapat ku mengerti? Maukah engkau bicara jujur padaku hingga bisa aku tahu yang tersimpan di hatimu? Diri dari dari
Voice of Indonesia.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, Voice of Indonesia. It is nice to meet you again in Music Corner segment. Today's edition will present you a song by Dea. Before going solo, Dea was first known as a member of the hi-fi group who has a distinctive voice. She began her solo career since releasing her first single with the title Cinta 99%. The song is quite accepted by the community as well as a cure for fans who look forward her to returning to the Indonesian music scene. On May 17, 2019, she released a single with the title Memanggilku Sayang. The song is a reflection of loving a change that is sure to happen in life. In this song, Dea invites Ariel, Androniji, and Dimas Mufli, who are known to be talented in making songs. Well, listener, here is Memanggilku Sayang by Dea. Enjoy the song.
Jika nanti ku tak cantik lagi, jika aku tak menarik lagi, masihkah kamu memuji-muji diriku? Jika ku mulai malas berdandan, penampilanku mulai berkurang, masihkah kamu terpesona melihatku? Sadarilah, aku pasti berubah. Takkan selalu indah, itu pasti saya. Itu pasti sayang.
Voice of Indonesia. Indonesia.
Berharu logika untuk menjawab semua
it is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safira Adela. See you on the next English program.